Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll be talking about Mushroom FM Radio, an internet streaming service operated almost entirely by visually impaired individuals.
We'll speak with Jonathan Mosen, founder, director, and one of the weekly DJs, about what they refer to as the home of the fun guys, about how this streaming service got started, and how to listen anywhere, anytime. You'll also learn how you too can participate. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jonathan Mosen, who you may know is not only very knowledgeable about working with iOS devices, but has written a series of books about them.
I think if I was to offer a tip of the week, it would probably be an iOS tip, and that would be to organize your iOS router for maximum efficiency. Sometimes when you're surfing the web, what you really want to do most is navigate by headings and form fields, but you have to use your router to flick through words and other controls until you finally get to headings and forms. If you go into VoiceOver settings and choose router, you can actually reorder the router settings so that when you are on the web and you're going to be doing a lot of web surfing, then headings and form fields are your first two items to make it really efficient to surf the web on your touchscreen.
That is a great tip. I'll bet you a lot of people don't know that you can adjust the router settings, and that can be a very useful feature.
And towards the end of this show, we'll tell you how you can get hold of Jonathan's books about working with the iOS devices. And they're full of tips about how you can do things efficiently and effectively.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Guide Dog Foundation, training and placing guide dogs for over 70 years, providing independence, enhanced mobility, and companionship to people who are visually impaired or have other special needs at no personal cost. To learn more about their programs or to apply for a guide dog, visit www.guidedog.org. That was not our usual breaker tune. That was one of the jingles used on Mushroom FM. Let's start by meeting Jonathan and learning about some of his other work.
So, Jonathan, you've been on the show a number of times before, but maybe you can reintroduce yourself to people and tell a little bit about yourself.
It's great to be back, guys. I'm Jonathan Mosen. I'm based in New Zealand, and I direct a company called Mosen Consulting, which produces a wide range of technology ebooks and webinars and audiobooks as well. And we provide one-on-one training and accessible app consultancy to a bunch of individuals. And I also, in the relevance of this conversation, do work with Mushroom FM, which I founded in 2010 and continue to manage.
And you're also well known within the blindness community as the voice of the FS Cast.
That's right. We're coming up to the 10th anniversary of FS Cast, actually. The first episode went out in December 2006. It's kind of like this wonderful treasure trove of technology history now, because when you go back to the first episode, technology was so different back then. We really have come a long way, and it just goes to show when you go through those archives, which are all still on the Freedom Scientific site, just how much progress there's been.
And people may remember that you've been blind since birth and are an avid Braille reader and proponent of people learning Braille, right?
Yeah, Braille is really important to me, and I'm not sure how I would have done many of the jobs I've held in my life in government relations and advocacy. I've been the chair of the Blindness Agency here in New Zealand, but most importantly, broadcasting, because my fluency in Braille allows me to pick up a script, be it a commercial or an item of news or something like that, and read it, and that's really important.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is Mushroom FM Radio.
So we want to talk mostly about Mushroom FM, but before we get into that, people should know that you've had a long career in broadcasting and got involved in some of this very early in life. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved in the radio field and broadcasting?
I guess like a lot of blind people, I've always been fascinated by the radio because radio is a medium that blind people can fully consume. And so at a very early age, from about the age of four, I started appearing on a local radio station in Auckland, New Zealand, where I grew up. And I used to go into the studio at Christmas time and host this show where kids would call in and talk about what they wanted for Christmas and the excitement of the Christmas season and things like that. And I was very keen to have a career in radio and decided that I needed to make that happen. I just didn't want to wait for circumstances to maybe fall in my direction. I think that you have to try and make your own luck. And so to facilitate that, when I was still at high school, I set up a radio station at the School for the Blind. We had a system in New Zealand where you could apply to the authority, kind of like the FCC, I guess, in the US, who would issue you, if you could provide appropriate enough documentation, with a license of a temporary nature to broadcast on the radio. And so we went out and sought advertising and got sufficient funds to hire professional broadcasting equipment, to have a big mast set up in one of the fields outside at the School for the Blind. And we ran a fully commercial radio station for a couple of weeks and two consecutive years. And I contacted everybody I could think of in the radio industry and said, hey, we're running this radio station, come out and meet us. And through that proactive process, I was able to make a really good network of people in the radio industry, so that when it came time for me to want to work in radio, everyone who was anyone in radio knew who I was, and I was able to walk in and get a job pretty easily at that point.
Based on all that experience, you later went on to start ACB Radio. Can you talk a bit about how that got started and what was your motivation?
Yeah, I worked in commercial radio for quite a long time, doing some talk shows, some music programming, that kind of thing. But eventually, when it was time to start a family, the radio industry in New Zealand was heavily deregulated by that point, and radio stations would come and go and change frequencies and ownership really quickly. And it didn't seem like a very stable place to be when we were planning a family. And so I moved on to other things like government relations and making sure that laws in New Zealand were friendly towards the goals that blind people were seeking. But radio kind of gets in your blood. And I had been keeping track of some technology that was allowing it to be really easy to broadcast on the internet. And I'd set up my own internet radio station just as a kind of hobby and started an international talk show called Blindline, which, to the best of my knowledge, is the first internet-based talk show exclusively for blind people. And people would call in from all over the world into a New Zealand telephone number because of the novelty of having a way in which blind people from all around the world could share their experiences and their troubles and their solutions. And ACB had become aware of this work that I was doing on my own and contacted me initially to say, we are looking at starting a radio station ourselves, and would you be a consultant and tell us how to do it? And I said, I'd be really happy to do that.
And for people who don't know, that's the American Council of the Blind.
That's right. Yes, that's right. And I was the president of the blindness organization here in New Zealand, the sort of ACB or NFB equivalent, which is the Association of Blind Citizens. And we had Paul Edwards, who was then the ACB president, out here as our guest speaker. And Paul is a great raconteur and an orator, and he was very well received. And he stayed with us. And I was going through a process where I was making a decision to leave the blindness agency that I was working for. And once I'd made that decision to go, Paul said to me, well, I didn't want to sway you either way, but now that you've made your decision to leave, why don't you come and manage ACB Radio for us, set it up, get it going, and manage it on an ongoing basis. So within about 4 hours of leaving my previous job, I had this new one, setting up a brand new internet radio station with a model that hadn't really been done before.
And that blossomed into quite a service.
It did. We went on the air on December the 1st, 1999, and I was there for a little under 4 years, about 3.5 years. And in that space of time, we brought on three distinct radio services and a bunch of broadcasters working in 9 countries. I think we had a team of about 70 people at its peak. And it's really, I think it was just the right thing at the right time because it predated the podcast era. Internet connections, a lot of people were dialing in with 56K modems and all that sort of stuff. And I remember getting up at the 2000 convention at ACB in Louisville and saying to them, there will come a time when you will have a smartphone-type device that you'll be able to take with you and listen to ACB radio on the bus. You'll be able to take it with you everywhere you go in the same way that you might take a portable transistor radio with you. And everybody thought, wow, that sounds like science fiction. And of course, it didn't take that long until we got to that point.
Incredible. So several years later, you then started Mushroom FM Radio. Can you talk a little bit about that? Tell us what it is at first and how you got into it.
Mushroom FM is an internet radio station that's predominantly music-based. And although there is no restriction of any kind, it so happens that the majority of the broadcasters are blind. I think at the moment all of them are, but we have had some sighted people who broadcast with us at various times in the past. We have broadcasters in a wide number of countries who get together and produce radio that I like to think is radio the way it's meant to be. Because if you want to just listen to music, and it's nice sometimes to just turn off the chatter and listen to the music, but if that's what you're in the mood for, you'll probably want to choose a service like Spotify or Apple Music or Pandora, where you have some control. If a song gets played that you don't like, you can give it the thumbs down and move on to a song that suits you better. So what we offer is a lot of personality in what we do. Knowledgeable people who have something interesting to say, maybe about the music, or just something interesting to say. And we know that the majority of our listeners are blind. We're not ashamed of it. We don't shrink away from it. It's nice to have a place that we are the majority. And so we do talk about a lot of blindness things if it's relevant. We're not dominated by blindness topics by any means, but we don't shy away from mentioning the blindness word as if it's something that we should be ashamed of. We're very proud of it, in fact. And we do have many sighted listeners who actually stumble upon us through iTunes or TuneIn or something like that. And they are surprised to learn that this thing is being run by blind people. And it's a positive thing for them because a lot of them don't even realize that blind people can use a computer. So when they hear blind people just interacting, being themselves, talking about their families, it's a really positive message that we're sending.
How did Mushroom FM get started?
As for how it got started, it was an accident. I decided... having done a bit of work on another internet radio station, that the best solution for me was to set up a server where I could just do my radio show, The Mosen Explosion, which has gone on for years and years, every week and just do my show, and that would be that. But when I attempted to do that back in 2010, a whole bunch of other people said, hey, can we come too? So I was rather surprised to find that I was directing an internet radio station when that's not what I had in mind at all. But sometimes the best things in life happen by happenstance.
Mushroom is an unusual name for a radio station. Can you tell our listeners where you got that name from?
Again, that was a crazy accident. A few weeks before I started Mushroom FM, we were having this bit of banter on my radio show, and somehow the subject of mushrooms came up because I happen to quite like them. You know, put a bit of mushrooms on the grill and get a bit of garlic there. Tremendous. Anyway, some people seem to have this major objection to mushrooms, and there's just a bit of crazy, pointless Twitter banter going on about mushrooms and whether they were good or not. And I think I said to Caroline Taves that she should set up a radio station called Mushroom FM, you know, and it was just a passing comment. Well, when I realized that, like it or not, I was about to form another internet radio station, most unexpectedly, I thought, well, what can we call this thing? And I wanted it to be fun. I wanted it to be something that when people listened, they really enjoyed it, that there was a kind of an atmosphere of togetherness about the project. And so fun was in my mind. And then naturally I thought, okay, the home of the fun guys. And then I thought Mushroom FM. You know, fun guy, Mushroom FM. So it was a very strange process of word association. And so we became the home of the fun guys, Mushroom FM, and it's kind of stuck.
That seems to work.
Yeah, it does seem to work, yeah.
The home of the fun guys, Mushroom FM.
So anyway, I understand that people can participate as broadcasters or doing some voiceover work themselves. Can you talk a little bit about that, how people can participate and get involved?
Yeah, we're all volunteers. And from time to time, people have said, you know, you could monetize this because you've got the audience to monetize it and maybe run some ads and stuff like that. And we've played with that just a little bit. But I think it takes it to a slightly different level. And right now, I enjoy the fact that this is a voluntary project. It's something that I like to give back. I think that Mushroom FM is an enormous source for good in the world because we entertain people and it's fun. So for those who want to volunteer, and we have had people who have volunteered for Mushroom FM who have gone on to commercial radio work, which is really encouraging and wonderful. And there are now three ways that you can participate in Mushroom FM.
And what are those?
One is to get some streaming software. Usually the one that people use is a Windows package called Station Playlist Studio. And you broadcast on the air. And that's a lot of fun because you're live. And it means that people can interact in real time via Twitter and respond to what you're saying. And you can respond to them. And it's kind of cool when you have listeners listening in real time who you can bounce off. And they give you further ideas for what to say and what to play. But there is an investment in time and knowledge involved in that. So it works very well for some people. It's not for others.
That's what I think of as being a regular DJ with audience interaction. What other ways are there of getting involved?
Other people pre-record shows, and that works, although you need a sound editor, obviously, to stitch it all together and to know how to do that. And you also need your own music to do it.
So that would sound very much like the first method, but without any interaction from the audience. What's the third way?
The thing that we've just introduced that I'm super excited about is a technology called voice tracking. And this is not new in radio by any means. And the sort of dirty secret of radio these days is that once you get out of the morning drive shows, most radio in the US and major markets is actually voice tracked. And what that means is that a broadcaster may come in, they may do it from home, and they record the voice breaks, the things that they say between the songs, onto a computer, onto a server. And then a computer is sitting there playing the music and stitching the voice breaks in the right place. And it sounds super professional until it breaks, which every so often it will do. And so that's how most radio is done these days. It means that the radio stations in a cash-strapped advertising market can pay the broadcasters less. And it means that, you know, some broadcasters are heard on multiple markets around the world. So we now have that voice tracking technology, and it means that I don't have to fall into the trap that I have with some other voluntary projects where it gets popular, people are demanding more content, and so we, you know, might recruit people who perhaps aren't of the same standard as we originally had. With voice tracking, it means that we can spread the production of material better among a smaller number of people and still give people more to hear. And the big advantage of voice tracking is that we can provide you with the software. It's a free Windows-based tool that we can give you at no charge. And as long as you have a good microphone and a good voice for radio, you can sit at home and voice track either music that you choose to play or music that our computer picks for you. So we have significantly lowered the barrier to entry to a radio project like that, and I'm just super excited about it.
Are you a 24/7 operation at this point, or do you still have openings that you'd like to fill?
It's 24/7. So at the moment, what we do is we replay all of the live shows once. So the Mosin Explosion, for example, which is my radio show, goes out on a Sunday afternoon between 2 and 6 p.m. Eastern time. We replay it on a Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern, thinking if you're up to listen to it at 5 a.m. Eastern, you probably weren't around to listen to it at 2 p.m. Eastern a couple of days before. So we try to replay shows at a time when it's a better time for you to hear the replay. We also have some shows that are completely automated at this point, and we would like to replace them with at least voice tracked shows. So when people tune into Mushroom FM, they always have something to hear. So there's certainly more space for new presenters.
So the geeky side of me is wondering technically how all this works. Can you describe how this streaming service works in a simple to digest form?
Well, when you're streaming live to Mushroom FM, you're actually connecting to a technology called a Shoutcast server, and then other listeners connect to the Shoutcast server. So it's kind of a way of distributing one audio stream across many, many people. In terms of the voice tracking technology, we have a computer box that I have lovingly nicknamed the Mushroom Pot, and it's a PC here at home where we have a fiber connection now. We've got 200 up and 200 down, and because it's fiber, the latency is really good. And this PC does nothing but serve Mushroom FM. And so when we deal with the voice track side of things, this little utility we give people connects to our server, and in a nice JAWS-friendly list view, it displays the songs that the computer has picked. Now, if you are doing a particular kind of a show, you can override that choice and insert music right from your local hard drive, or you can just up and down arrow through the songs that have been picked, press Control R and then another key, and you're recording your voice break between the songs. So it's a very simple system to use. And like any internet technology, it has its moments. You know, various technology issues can befall the project from time to time. But I've been doing this a long time, and so we do have redundancy in place, and largely the service is there and stable for people to hear.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like you're hosting a lot of this content from home and managing this whole process yourself.
Yes, that's what we're doing now.
Well, that sounds like it can be a lot of fun, and if you want to learn more, just keep listening.
And they have a great website that updates constantly with what the current show is that's playing and even the names of the tunes. That was also not our regular breaker tune. That was another of the jingles that they use on Mushroom FM. Now for this week's final item, how you can actually listen to Mushroom FM, how you can get involved, and how you can get more information about Jonathan's other work, such as his consulting and his books.
So if people are interested in listening to Mushroom FM, how do they go about that?
If you have any kind of radio app at all, be it TuneIn Radio or uTunes or iBlink Radio or Radium, pretty much all of them, hopefully, you can type in Mushroom FM into the search box when you're searching for a radio station. iBlink Radio and a couple of other apps mean that you can also find it on the Apple TV fourth generation. And if you have a third generation Apple TV, then it's in the iTunes media directory that, at this time anyway, hasn't made it to the fourth generation yet. Oh, Victor Reader Stream, of course, uses the uTunes directory, so you can search for it on the Victor Reader Stream, the new one. And of course, we have a website and a fully accessible player. We have a schedule on the website that actually tries, using JavaScript, to detect your local time zone and automatically translates the schedule so that when you want to see what program is on when, it actually shows you in your local time zone without you having to do any kind of conversion. And that website is over at mushroomfm.com. So Mushroom FM is all joined together.
And if someone thinks they might want to participate as a DJ or in some other way, what kind of instructions and advice do you have for them?
We have a lot of information because we really welcome people who are good team players and who, you know, can turn on a microphone and waffle in an interesting way. So you can go over to mushroomfm.com/join. Nice and simple. mushroomfm.com/join. On that page, you'll actually find a demo of our voice track system that I prepared to show people how easy it now is to get this free software that we can provide you with and do Mushroom FM very, very simply. So that would be the place to go. And it talks about the application process. We're much more formal than a number of other similar projects because a number of us do have day jobs. We want to be working with people on a team who know what it is to work cooperatively, to work with supervision. If you become accepted onto the project after the process outlined in that join document, we have a very comprehensive new broadcasters guide that's a Word document that we give to new broadcasters, and it explains how everything works. It's a really handy sort of user guide broadcasting manual. So we like to think we've got very good infrastructure and a very friendly way of inducting people into the process.
If people want to learn more about or contact you as Mosen Consulting, how would they do that?
You can go to the website at mosen.org, that's mosen.org. And on that website in the Mosen Consulting store, actually, Brian Hartgen and I produced a tutorial, and from memory it's about 11 or 12 hours long, that is on the station playlist suite of products. And you can purchase that. Also, Brian has done some excellent scripts for the station playlist studio suite with JAWS. And you can purchase the whole thing as a bundle, the tutorial and the JAWS scripts, or you can go to Brian's site and purchase the JAWS scripts separately. And that will take you through from the very beginning point. If you've never used the studio software before and you'd like to do some live broadcasting, if you follow along with that, by the end of it, you'll be all ready to do that and hit the air live.
And I understand with Apple introducing yet another operating system that you've written yet another book about how to work with it.
Yeah, this has become an annual thing now. I started with iOS 7 and produced a book called iOS 7 Without the Eye, predominantly because there was a lot of visual change going on with iOS 7, and I knew that the tech press would be obsessed with the visuals. But then what happened was that a lot of people said, are you going to do a sequel? Because we like having everything in one place, or sort of a what's new guide from a blind perspective to iOS, nicely navigable by heading and clear explanations. So it's become an annual event now. And I am going to release iOS 10 Without the Eye on the day that Apple releases iOS 10 itself. And you can pre-order that book. You can go to mosen.org and choose the Mosen Consulting store, and you'll find a page there where you can pre-order iOS 10 Without the Eye, and also have a look at a lot of the other ebooks and audiobooks that are available.
And do you have a social media presence as well?
I personally do. By the time this airs, Mosen Consulting may, but the best thing to do is to follow me on Twitter, where I do post blog entries and useful links to stories and other information. And it's just my first and last name all joined together on Twitter. It's Jonathan Mosen, all joined together. And Mushroom FM, of course, has made extensive use of social media. We've done some amazing things with murder mystery weekends. We've done virtual cruises, virtual train trips, all kinds of innovative stuff. And you can follow Mushroom FM on Twitter just by following Mushroom FM, all one word.
So in case you missed any of that contact information or the resources we talked about, or if you want to listen to Mushroom FM Radio, get involved, go to our show notes where all that information can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1635. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the commitment to accessibility in Apple products. Apple has been a leader in accessibility with all of its products, and we'll take a look inside Apple and talk with Sarah Herlinger, Senior Manager for Global Accessibility Policy, about Apple's commitment to accessibility and about a number of new and exciting features coming soon that are geared to the visually impaired. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.